You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
Kyle.
Knockouts and Three Counts.
Yes, sir. This is Knockouts and Three Counts. And we're here once again with another episode of Podcast Gold. Ladies and gentlemen, we're welcoming a very special guest here in a little bit. But before we get to that, Kyle, any quick announcements, man?
Other than BCWA was a pretty good show from what I saw of it and everybody's been talking about. And we could be coming to Clash soon. Other than that, not really. Other than, did you hear the news today? Conor McGregor said he's retiring.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I agree, but he also just got popped for alleged sexual assault case in Ireland now, too, and he just had that arrest recently. Yeah.
Damn thug. just a hooligan.
I don't know what to say, but I can say that today's show will be pretty badass.
Definitely looking forward to it, man. I don't think I really have any announcements. All I will say is that I don't know what I'm going to do with this thing that I'm doing right now, but I'm kind of been hitting a lot of independent shows. Uh-oh, we got a call. We'll talk about that later.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's going on, brother man? How you doing? Cool. So, as we were just talking to you on the way in, we were just letting you know who our guest is, and he's just called in. We have, from Ring of Honor Wrestling, we have Shane Taylor with us. How you doing, brother man?
I'm doing great, man. How are y'all?
I'm going to be honest with you, Shane. I'm a little bit upset because I think you got screwed the other day, man. You should be the TV champion right now, sir.
Can't argue. You preach to the choir, man.
Hey, I can't argue that fact.
it's one of those things, you know. I'm not a graceful loser. I never have been in my life. When you are the kind of competitor that I am, you don't take losing easily. I don't like to lose checkers, let alone, you know, something that I think I'm really good at. So hats off to Jeff Cobb. You got me twice now, you know what I mean? So it is what it is. But I will say this again, there's no one that pushes Jeff Cobb to his limits more than me. And if he is supposed to be this unstoppable monster, then it's just a matter of time until I'm the one that stops him. If we have a third match down the line somewhere, he won't beat me a third time.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to get into. As I told you when we were talking about getting you to come back on the show, and I'm not just saying this because you're a guest. I mean, dude, that's one of the best super heavyweight matches I've seen in quite a long time. I mean, just the amount of times that you guys threw each other back and forth and how hard-hitting it was and the pace you guys kept. I mean, dude, I totally could see you being the next person to beat him because you definitely pushed him to his limits, just like you said. Like, so that answers my next question. Is that what's next on your mind, or are you going to – you got other things in mind?
I have a singular focus. You know, when I lock onto a target, that's the target that I want. You know what I mean? So
right.
All eyes are still on Jeff Cobb. All eyes are still on that television championship. Obviously, we have to see how this Madison Square Garden event plays out. Jeff Cobb versus Will Ospreay. Ring of Honor World Television title versus New Japan Pro Wrestling Never Open Weight Championship. Will Ospreay is a former ROH World TV Champion, so he's going to look to be on the illustrious list of guys who have won it twice, whereas Jeff Cobb is going to try to win his first title in New Japan. So who knows? Either way, I feel as though with the performance that I've given and what I've done, that whoever steps out of Madison Square Garden as champion is looking at me next.
So that leads me to my next question, or my next thing, man. Again,
it sounds like Shane's doing this interview.
I know, man. Like, for real. Like, he's literally leading me into it. Clearly. Because that leads me into exactly what Devin was talking about earlier and what I was talking to you about off air. I was hoping we were going to see you at the New Japan Ring of Honor G1 Supercard show because go ahead and ring the bell, Devin. Yeah, I'm going to be there. So I was like, damn, dude. When I saw the card, I'm like, dude, they need to put Shane Taylor on it, especially after the TV title match. But I definitely think a match with either Ospreay or another match with Jeff Cobb is cool on my end. But let me ask you this. So with you guys both being big like that, like, how does it feel for you? I mean, I know you've been in the game for a long time, but, like, you guys being that big, you guys aren't getting thrown as many times as you guys were getting thrown in that match. Did that throw you off at all? Or, you know, what are your thoughts on the matches?
Cobb is an insanely strong human being. You know, I think he grabbed me for, like, a pump handle.
It was
and
like
normally, a, like, you can shift weight and counter it, you know, and things of that sort. And I went to do that, and I was just still in the air. And I was like, oh. All right, this sucks. You know what I mean? And then then I got tossed overhead. So, like, that's not something that I'm used to. But at the same time, when you look at who my trainers are and, you know, and guys like Ray Rowe, I've been in that position before. So it's like when you fight and you do these things and you get put in certain spots, you kind of still have that
control.
The back of your mind that you know, all right, I can recover from this, I can do that and go forward and all that. So it's not something that I'm used to, but I've been there before, so it was nothing that I didn't expect.
For sure. Another thing I've been noticing on Ring of Honor TV, man, is I've seen you and Silas Young and you guys having your runs with Lifeblood and stuff, man. Tell me what's up with that. Are you guys just trying to get what's yours? Or
listen, man, we're the way I see it, you know, I mean, don't start none, won't be none. You know what I'm saying? But
respect that.
I still don't understand how people that aren't from Ring of Honor can be the Lifeblood of Ring of Honor. That makes no sense to me. Like, that would be like me saying, you know, I'm the lifeblood of Pittsburgh and I'm from Cleveland. That makes no sense. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it is a catchy nickname. They can put it on T-shirts and brand it however they want. The way I feel about it, though, this is still five guys that weren't in Ring of Honor last year that are stepping into my house that are going to have to, you know, take off their shoes and wipe their feet before they walk into my house. So that's the way I see it. And line for anything starts behind Shane Taylor. So if any of them have an issue with that, I'm not a hard dude to find.
So you kind of, once again, Shane, you kind of led right into a question that I had. Yeah, we're gonna have to,
this is going to be our easiest interview ever.
Tell me, man.
Well, one thing that I've been thinking about is the fact that, you know, Ring of Honor is going through a lot of changes right now. You had basically all the guys from the Bullet Club go over to All Elite to start their own promotion, which kind of opened up a lot of spots for people that have been there and people that are new in Ring of Honor. So, and like I said, you just wrestled for the television championship last week, another opportunity for you. So how do you see yourself fitting into this new era of Ring of Honor?
I mean, I see myself exactly where I saw myself last year. You know, I wasn't a guy that came in with a lot of indie hype. I wasn't a guy that came in with a lot of buzz. I'm not a guy who was a favorite of somebody higher up that they wanted to, you know, make sure people knew that I was a star. You know, I'm not a guy, with any of those connections. And when you talk about where I'm at now, you know, that match with Cobb was my first singles pay-per-view match in 2+ years that I've been with Ring of Honor.
Wow.
So, and that is a result of the match that we have in Philly. So my entire career is me putting in the work and eventually me grinding and getting what I want just off of, you know, perseverance and things of that sort. So to me it's all the same. You know, they can have their golden boys, they can have their chosen ones, they can have the guys that they want people to know are stars, and I'm gonna keep knocking people out, keep knocking people down, and prove that I'm the guy that has said, you know, I'm the one the entire time. Anytime they've given me the platform to show it, I've done just that. So it's just a matter of time until, you know, people see through all the bull and they see who the champ really is.
Are we going to see you on that Madison Square Garden show?
Yeah, you better, or we're going to have problems.
Hey, I support that message.
But nothing announced right now?
Nothing announced right now, but, you know, we will see. I know the ticket is already bought, so I will be there. even if I have to walk out into the crowd and start just punching people there, I'll be there.
So another thing that you mentioned just in what you had just said, like, you know, you've always had that drive through hard work that has kind of got you where you needed to go in your career. I was doing a little bit of research, you know, before we were when we knew we were having you come on the show, and like I was reading a lot about, you know, your past and upbringing, all those kind of things. Would you say that, you know, that drive is something that you've had from like your past or your, you know, from when you were young, or is it something you, you know, grew as you were running through your career? Or is it something you always had?
A little bit of everything. I've always wanted to be the best at whatever I did. That was instilled in me by my dad, you know. And, you know, through the things that I've seen in my life, through the things that I've done, through the things that I've seen that I've saw other people go through, the amount of people that I've had to bury, you know, people that didn't get a chance to live their dream or live their life to the utmost the way they wanted to. All of it, you know, and including my family, my two daughters now, and everything is why I push myself the way that I do. I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. I couldn't look at them, you know, and come up short if I didn't put the work in to get to where I need to be. So, for them, for everybody that, you know, I've known that have helped me get to this point at the cost of their own, dreams or their own lives. Sometimes, I have no other choice but to fucking, you know, sorry, cuss, but,
oh, you but, say whatever
we
fuck
do,
you want,
we
man.
Do plenty.
okay. All right.
We do plenty.
Just kind of go hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, say whatever the fuck you want, man. Go ahead.
All right. Oh, okay. I was like, damn.
Yeah, we can go through the whole list, man, with shit, damn, motherfucker. Oh, sorry.
Right. Now you, and you guys talk, right. And you talk
I'm
about me, dog.
I'm not a game changer right there. I'm like, oh, all right.
Yeah. And you talk about me, dog. Look at you.
I do it for fun, man. That's just your normal vocabulary. But
I would say that it's a lot more normal in your vocabulary than you'd like to admit.
Yeah, fuck you. But let's move on. wait, I don't know how to transition, so I'll just say.
Tell you what, though. Speaking of that, I cuss a lot more now after starting wrestling than I ever did before. I don't know what the connection is there, but like now I'm just like, oh yeah, da-da-da-da-da-da. Like now I really gotta watch myself around the kids because like my daughter's
totally
born now, so she's. You know what I mean? She's a sponge to everything,
well,
you know, so.
There you go.
Well, so here, okay, I had a question, but now I got something new. So you told us before that, you know, you grew up in the streets of Cleveland, you know, knocking people out, man. So you cuss more now that you're wrestling than, you know, in the streets of Cleveland, man?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't a big talker. Like,
okay.
Like that makes perfect
where
sense.
Where we're from, like by the time we get to that point, there's nothing I need to say to you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're like
if we're at that point, we're going.
Like, yeah, like and like for me, what I used to do is, you know, I would go collect money for people, and like you know why I'm there. Like, you know why I'm
there's
there.
Nothing to talk about.
Like there's nothing to talk about.
Like, you know why, hey, I'm there. Either pay me or we got
you
problems.
You know why I'm here. You, like let's not go through this. Are you able to take care of your end of this bargain? No, you're not? Okay, now we have a problem. You know what I mean? Like, that's the end of it. You know? So, like conversational cussing, though. Is what I mean. Like, yeah, if I'm going here and I this fucking thing over here.
And it
like,
just
why,
falls
why?
Off
There's
your
no
tongue,
need to
dude.
Right there. There's no need. Like, but I just do. It's there.
It feels so good, though, doesn't it?
Dude, I totally hear you because I just had one of my union guys tell me that today at work. He was like, "Dude, why do you cuss so much?" I said, "If you want to know the honest answer, I really don't mean to. It just kind of It kind of just happens. Like, I literally. So that leads me into another question off of some of the research I was doing. You know, we talked about, you know, the stuff you had going on when you were in Cleveland and things like that. Like, for you, like, when did you hit the point where you were like, you know what, wrestling is where I need to go? Because, you know, from what I read, you know, in my, you know, lead up trying to, you know, learn a little bit more about you, you know, it was talking about, like you said, you know, having to collect from people and things like that and doing stuff in the streets. Like, at what point for you did you get to a point where you said, you know what, wrestling is going to be it for me, or wrestling is going to be what I put my focus on? And it was it something that you felt like you had to do because if you didn't, you know, it was going to be death or jail? Or was it just something that sparked the decision?
I think it was the wrestling decision came after college, but the decision to kind of get things going straight, you know, came like, I'm going to say like my sophomore year of high school. Like, my dad again sat me down, saw the path that I was going down, and my family is known for doing what they do. And, me and my cousins were kind of like trying to exceed the reputation because people, you know what I mean? Cause like, when you're from that area and people know your family name, like people try to test you, especially like the younger ones, you know what I mean? To see if you live up to, you know, all the hype all that the name carries. So, me and my cousins are go-getters to the max. So we wanted to make sure that there was no doubt that if you thought they were bad, just wait till you can see us. You know what I mean? So, going down that road, you know, my dad sat me down, I was about 15 or so, and he was like, look, you know, if you're going to do this, I will show you how to be the best at it, but there's going to be a cost to this. You know, there is no 401k plan. There is no retirement. This is paranoia every day, guns on you every day, you know, death at jail waiting for you every day, you know, losing more friends and family, you know, he's like, or you can be a better man than me, do and, you know, and go do what you want to do, you know? So I was the first member of my family to go to college. You know, I had a cousin, Walter, who graduated from Harvard Business School, and we lived like two blocks from each other.
Wow.
You know, once I left college, I was like, all right, I'm not a 9-to-5 dude. I'm not a cubicle guy. I already know that about myself. Like, I can't listen to some dude in a suit or, you know, with a pocket protector talk crazy to me and be like, dude, if you can't beat me up, you can't tell me what to do. Like, sorry. wrestling was always a dream. I figured out, you know, I found out about the independent scene and things of that sort and schools and all of that. Ran across Ray Rowe and a guy by the name of Jerry Myers, a.k.a. J-Rock. Met up with them, and the rest is history. Once I fell in love with wrestling, that's when, you know, the passion for wrestling and wanting to be the best at that kicked in. So two separate starting points.
So, I was going to ask you before we started talking about Cushing. First, I want to say congratulations to you, man, because you got married since the last time you were on the show. So congratulations to you and your bride and your family.
Thank you.
And I was listening to an interview that you did before, and you were talking about getting your nails done with your daughter. So I don't mean to ruin the mystique of Notorious Shane Taylor, but how much has your daughter kind of softened you up, man?
My daughter has softened me up in a sense that I let some things slide more now. Like, whereas before, if I was single and by myself, if you said something to me that I deemed was disrespectful, I'm knocking your teeth out. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to learn right there that we have an issue now, you know, and if I would deal with the aftermath of such decision, you know what I mean? By myself.
Right.
Now that I have her, She depends on me. I can't be as reckless. You know what I mean? Because she, both of my daughters and my wife now need me, you know? So, Now that doesn't mean I'm gonna let everything go. I just tend to let
you
smaller pick, stuff go.
You know pick what, I mean? What but, pick what hills to die on.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't want anybody out there thinking, oh, you know, I can say whatever I want to Shane. Nah, dude. it still ain't sweet over here. You know what I mean?
Like, I hear you.
But part of who I am and a part of not even my character and wrestling, because it's just me. Like I am that guy. I can go get my nails done with my daughter at 3 o'clock, punch you in the face at 5 o'clock, and then be back at home to, you know, read her a bedtime story and give her a hug and a kiss. That doesn't, nothing about that changes.
Nothing about that makes you soft at all, bro. Exactly. Not at all, dude.
Like, this is just what dads do. Like, oh, you get your nails done? Wah! Oh, yeah. So, I did. Not now what? You know what I mean?
I totally can relate with what you mean when you say, like, you know, feeling like people tested you, because I kind of went through the same thing as a kid, but for different reasons. Not because my family had any sort of name or anything, but when I was growing up, I grew up with CP and things. So when I learned how to box and people knew how that I – said that I knew how to defend myself naturally, it every time somebody would say something, you almost had to be like, you almost had to be expecting somebody to try to sucker punch you. But that that leads me into my next question. You know, you were talking about how you came up in Cleveland. I know you're in Texas now. Tell me a little bit about the move to Texas, and you've been tearing shit up over there in Texas, because we've had a guy who's been wrestling here locally with a couple promotions that we work with.
Yeah, Mr. Kenny Steele.
Yep. Tell and mention your name quite a few times, and we let him know, yeah, dude, we've had Shane on the show, and I'm probably going to do it again soon. So tell me a little bit about the transition to Texas, the scene out there, and, like, the noise you've been making out there, man.
Oh, yeah, I definitely got to hear this.
Well, yeah, like, when I was still in the Midwest and Cleveland area, you know, I had done just about everything there was to do and competed against everybody, but I felt like I was plateauing. I was there for about, you know, 7-8 years and didn't really feel as though there was anybody in that area that much better than me that was going to help me grow as a performer, right? So Ray Rowe was already down here. He was already making another name for himself down here. He had been asking me to move down here for, you know, 3-4 years now. So I was like, all right, man, you know, I finally was like, all right, cool, let's do it. I moved down here, just started training with him and, you know, got on to, I think, like, the first show that I was on was like NWA Houston, which changed to Lone Star Championship Wrestling. Mm-hmm. Met, you know, Keith Lee and Jack Dane and, you know, met Luke Hawks down in Wildcat Sports in New Orleans and all the guys that, you know, are with those companies, and a VIP in Dallas with Lamont Williams and his whole crew. So once I started making those rounds, I mean, the talent down here is great. As you can see, there's more and more people from Texas being signed to different places. You got Sammy Guevara and AEW, ACH, you know what I mean? Like, Texas guys, you know what they're doing. They're really good. And the problem is Texas is so big. Like, sometimes it's a world unto itself.
Right.
But then every now and again, you'll have things break through like a VIP or an Inspire or a Wrestle Circus that was hot for a while. You know what I mean?
Right.
You'll have those things. And so my only goal since I started was to be the best. I've had great opportunities with, you know, not only with the companies that I've mentioned, but with SOAR Championship Wrestling in Dallas, Texoma, to be able to showcase those abilities, and put me in a position to help not only help myself grow, but bring more fans in to help other performers grow. And that's something that I take serious, because I like being in that leadership role. I like being the guy that people can say, we need a home run here. Who do we put in the box? Me. You know what I mean? Like, right. But, like, that's my goal in any company that I'm in, is when people start asking those questions, well, who do we need for this that will make sure that this gets done? Me. No, nobody else needs to come to mind. So, you know, I've been able to do that in Texas. And, you know, I finished up my indie dates a few weeks ago, and that was bittersweet. You know what I mean? Because on one hand, it's full-time exclusive with Ring of Honor, so you're happy. Right. But, you know, 10, 11 years of doing things on your own, you know what I mean? And that sort of grind and just hitting those towns and seeing the same people. And so that's the tough part. But everybody's extremely happy for me going forward and anxious to see just what I do the rest of this year and for the years to come.
Wait, so will Texas still be your home base, even now that you're exclusive with Ring of Honor?
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere, man. I live here. My family is here. It would take an astronomical figure, you know what I mean, to uproot me from Houston right now.
Okay. So this is more of a question for myself. So being from the Midwest, not necessarily the wrestling side of things, but more of the personal mm-hmm. side of things, moving from the Midwest mm-hmm. down to Texas, man, how has that transition been?
It's easy. Like, for me, man, like, when you deal with the stuff that we deal with in the Midwest, moving down here is easy. Like, I don't think people could do it the other way around.
I agree completely.
Texas, and move to the Midwest, you can't. You're screwed. No, sorry. Like, you're not built for that. Like, but we can go. Like, we deal with everything, so we can go anywhere and be fine and adjust. Like, all right. For example, the first week I moved down here, it was December, but it was like 50 degrees. So I'm like, yo, there's a pool in this condo. I'm going swimming. Now, what they didn't tell me was the water was absolutely freezing. Like, but regardless of that, like, people were looking at me like I was an alien. You get in the 40s and 50s, and Cap's got full winter garb on, and I'm like, where do they do this at? Like, this is shirt. You know what I mean? This is maybe light jacket and some shorts. You know what I mean? But so. Anybody from the Midwest can come down here and be successful. I don't know about the other way around. I'm not saying it can't be done. So right. No one be like, well, Shane said no one from Texas could do it. It's not what I said. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, it's not as easy.
It would be nice not seeing as much snow. It's got to be great.
Oh, man. I love seeing snow, like, as a reminder, but not, like, I don't have to shovel shit, G. I don't got it. Like, I'm like, yo, y'all can have it all.
I literally had this conversation with a friend that lives in Texas just 2 days ago, and mm-hmm. she was like, oh, you know, I went to, I guess it got cold in Arizona, and her idea of cold, it was Angie I'm talking about, Devin. Right. And she goes, yeah, it was like 55, and I'm like, that's cold? Like, yeah. At 55, I'm gravy, bro.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, 55, I'm chilling. Like, you know what I mean? This is perfect.
Like, we're wearing shorts and stuff and flip flops at that point, man.
Right. You know what I mean? Maybe get a pina colada out there. You know what I mean? Tropical, you know? But it actually did snow here. For a bit, because I remember, like, I was taking my daughter to daycare, and there was snow, and she was like, and it was crazy, because, like, the day before, she was like, oh, I want snow, and I was like, yeah, it doesn't really snow all that much, and then Mother Nature made a liar out of me, and it snowed like crazy, and I was like, well, she asked for it, she got it, like, it is what it is.
So, coming off of, again, this is a good segue. So we're talking about temperature. You know, now that, like, you've had AEWs come up and Cody and the Bucks and all the big names that were maybe synonymous with Ring of Honor for a little while, you know, tell me a little bit about how you see the new climate of Ring of Honor. Because right now, to me, it almost kind of seems like it's up for grabs for anyone, you know, for the taking. Now that some of the big names outside of, like, Jay Lethal and a couple others that are still there, like Matt Taven and them, I mean, the main ones that people were thinking about for a while was everything associated with Bullet Club. So tell me a little bit about what you feel like the temperature of Ring of Honor is like, or the climate's like, and what do you feel like it's an open anyone's playing field right now?
Is it anyone's playing field? No. There's still, you know, like I said, you're still going to have your golden boys. You're still going to have your chosen ones. You're still going to have those guys. When you look at the landscape of how things are set up right now, you could name off the top of your head 10 people that, you know, are in that spot, and you'd be probably be right. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I do think the door is open for people to stand out more. And again, like I said, I feel like I'm one of those guys. Like, for again, like I mentioned, that pay-per-view match was my first singles title match, my first singles pay-per-view match in 2.5 years. You know, and I don't even think it would have happened had I not had the match with Cobb that I had in Philly.
Right.
So it's a matter of me putting myself into positions to be successful, not because I'm not going to be the guy that the company does it for me. You know what I mean? But I already know that. That's just how this game is. You know, that's not a complaint. That's not it's just simply the way the world works.
It's just facts.
So, that's my plan. You know, I'm just going to keep going out there and keep putting on match after match after match that has the world talking. And eventually, you know, they're going to see it, or I'm going to make one hell of a rival. You know what I mean? So it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that, you're now exclusive for Ring of Honor. And Ring of Honor has a partnership with New Japan, which is why we're getting the Madison Square Garden show. Will we ever see you go over to New Japan? Is that a goal of yours?
That's not a question for me, man. That's not a question for me. My answer has always been yes. I did the New Japan USA shows, the tour that they did here, L.A., Charlotte, Nashville. A phenomenal week, amazing crowd, such an amazing experience, such a professional company. They really take care of you, and it was awesome, you know, to be around that talent and to work with so many different people. I would love to go over there. Shout out to Kevin Kelly and Rocky Romero, and, you know, all the guys that I know over there. That's always been a dream of mine. You know, I got to live vicariously through Ray when he won the IWGP tag team titles and was on Wrestle Kingdom and doing kind of all the stuff there, man. It was just so cool to watch.
Right.
And, you know, seeing homies like Jonathan Gresham tear it up there, and Beer City Bruiser when he went, you know, so it's just, I feel like it's a matter of time, but again, that's out of my hands. There's right. nothing that I can do to change that. You know what I mean? So I don't worry about things that are out of my control. I just got to keep doing my thing, and we'll see what happens on the road.
And I mean, this is just an observation, but I mean, if you keep doing like you've been doing with like matches, like with Cobb and all that stuff, I mean, your style is so hard hitting that you would fit in great in New Japan. So I mean, you would think,
right?
Especially
currently, I don't know. Not that it matters, but I don't know if they have any African American talent on their roster at all. You know, that I'm thinking of that jumps to the front of my mind.
Yeah, you'd have to. I know ACH was over there for a little bit.
Yeah, he was. I mean, but he's not there now.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm trying to
currently.
Think. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, who
outside of Cheeseburger there a little bit, but so, that's it.
I mean, yeah, not only are you talking about great hard-hitting matchups, but I'm going to be an anomaly. If I, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so people are going to want to pay to say, all right, well, who's this guy? You know what I mean? So there's money to be made there, but so we'll see.
So outside of Supercard of Honor, is there anything else that we'll be seeing you get into WrestleMania weekend?
Because of contract stuff, no. I did have some stuff lined up, but I had to move that around. But I'm just going to be enjoying the sights, man. Experience in the week, just taking in the magnitude of what we're about to accomplish here. You know, Madison Square Garden, man, there's a handful of people on this planet that can say that they've done, that they performed in that arena.
Right.
In any capacity, you know what I mean? So that's historic for me. And to be a part of this is, you know, I'm just truly, truly amazing. And I just can't wait to get there. We have Baltimore this Sunday, I believe. And then it's off to the Garden.
Man, so
right around the corner.
So how does it feel being a part of that show and knowing that you guys moved NXT to Friday so that you can have your own day WrestleMania weekend? Because a lot of people don't really talk about that. You know, WWE kind of says, you know, oh, no, we were, you know, thinking about moving it anyway. But
no, they weren't.
Let's just go ahead and call it what it is. You guys, basically, they didn't want to go up against you guys head-to-head for viewers. So they moved their NXT show to Friday, and you guys got Saturday. So how does it feel being a part of that, man?
I mean, it's competition is always good. You know what I mean? Like, that's what breeds all of this. You know, when you have new companies come up, there's more money. You know, people have to be more creative, you know. You have to take better care of your talent. You know what I mean? Because now it's not just, well, this is what we want to do. If you don't like it, leave. Because now guys can go, yeah, okay, I'll do just that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so you have to be careful now. Like now wrestling has always been better when there were multiple companies for people
Agreed.
To work at, right. You know? So, being able to be a part of this wave of, you know, challenging the status quo, is great, you know, and I'm happy for, you know, everybody though on every side of this that's able to make a career doing this and take care of their families and live out their dreams. And you know, it's competition, man. It's what we live for. It's what we do.
So you just mentioned it, competition. So how would you respond to all the people that are saying, you know, oh, you've got, you know, they lost all their people. Is Ring of Honor really going to make it? And after the Garden show and all that stuff. I personally think what Jay Lethal said on TV a few weeks ago, where he said, you know, when you really look back, you know, or no, it was an interview with JR, I heard, matter of fact. He was talking about how, you know, everybody's like, oh, is Ring of Honor going to go down the hole? But when you think about it, they kind of had the same thing happen when CM Punk left, when Daniel Bryan left,
anyway, Joe,
when, you know, Joe, you can go down the list, and they've always made their way out of it. So I guess for you being in Ring of Honor now and there being so many new faces, how do you respond to those who are like, what's the future of Ring of Honor going to be now that they've lost a lot of their star power?
My answer to them would be, look at our track record. You know what I mean? Like, Ring of Honor isn't a company that has to reset. We essentially just reload every single year. When you look at the landscape of professional wrestling and who's at the top of it, I want to say close to 75% have Ring of Honor ties, you know, and that's in any company.
That's a good point.
You know, when you look at the top guys, you know, in Florida or New York or Connecticut, whatever you want to say, you know, 80% of the top guys have Ring of Honor ties. So there's something that we're doing right.
I mean, look at their two title matches. Look at their two title matches.
Look at them.
You've got one guy who was champ over there that is the champ in WWE, and now you've got another guy who's in the main event going for the title. You know, in Seth Rollins, Tyler Black, whatever you want. Exactly. That's my point. Either way it goes, you've got. I mean, people can say what they want, but I mean, I think it's pretty obvious.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
And when you go down and you look at NXT as well, you know, look who the tag champs are. Look what their biggest group is. You know what I mean?
Like, they just brought Punishment Martinez over there. And I mean, dude, they're brilliant.
I mean, like, it's like we don't even like there's nothing that can be disputed, not to make a pun off of that. But like, it is. it is what it is. Like, these are facts. These are things that you can quantify, you know. So we're just going to keep doing what we do. And keep producing stars and keep making, you know, keep making history.
Well, so, yeah, you're definitely in competition with those guys, but what is it like seeing a couple of your buddies over there, NXT, killing it, and Keith Lee and Roe.
Awesome. Awesome. Like, you know, those are guys that at one time were told no, you know, by the same people. Well, not by the same people, but, you know, by the same, you know, company. Like, hey, not now. It's not for you now. We just don't see it now. And they worked their asses off until they were like, hey, so maybe you guys do want to come here. You know what I mean? They're like, yeah. You know, so I couldn't be happier for them. You know, they've busted their ass and they put in the work and they are now living their dream. You know, I talk to Ray almost daily, you know, and he just sends me texts sometimes that are like, yo, this is my life. And I'm like, I know, man, it's crazy. You know, he gets to go beat people up in the ring and then be a Viking out of it. It's insane. It's what he's always
dude, wanted. Their entrance, you know, at the last takeover was fucking insane.
Sick, bro.
It was insane. Sick. So sick. Let me ask.
Hold on. Just to piggyback off of that, what's really cool about that is, like, that's his actual, like, family, like his Viking group, like, those are, like, them. You know what I mean? So, like, they got them to come in and do that. So, like,
wow.
Not only did you get to make this badass entrance, but you got to do it with people that you care about the most. That's sick to me. That's
so awesome. Did he ever get you to paint up is the question.
No, not at the paint up. But I was at his wedding, and we all did dress up in, like, Viking garb and things of that sort, like medieval type wear. And it was cold as hell, like Cleveland in winter cold. And so I told him, I was like, man, you are the only person on this planet that would get me to do some shit like that. You know what I mean? So, but it was a hell of a time, man. Like, that was one of the coolest things I've ever been a part of. And yeah, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for, Sarah, I'm happy for Keith. It's awesome.
Wait, quick question. So if Ray was into, let's say, being a vampire, would he be able to get you to dress up as a vampire for his wedding?
I don't know. I don't really do, you know, horror movie stuff.
That would be a big, you know, ass
that,
vampire,
that doesn't
bro.
Tend to work out well for people like me in those situations. So
right.
I tend to leave that alone. Okay. Hell, there's places that, like, he'll want to stop at, like, when we're doing road trips, that if I thought we were sketchy, I'm like, nah, man, I'm not stopping. Like, especially if we're, like, in the middle of the boonies.
Oh, man.
And he's just like, hey, you want to stop here? Nah, man.
So, wait.
Well, why, Shane? Nah, bro. I'm not doing it.
So, let me jump in that a little bit further, okay? And I want Kyle to know that I wasn't just making this up. So...
I already know where you're going?
I'm not
going
to say who this guy was, but there was a promotion here in the Detroit area that was getting started. And they had four dates set.
Oh, God,
and three of those dates were in areas that I wasn't comfortable going to. So I told Kyle, I was like, hey, look, I am not going to those first two shows. I'll go to the one here because I know that's a safe area. He was like, well, why not, man? We got to go there.
I knew once I thought about it in my defense, all right?
Yeah.
It took me a second, but I was like, all right, never mind.
I mean, he's like,
don't even need to ask.
We got to go represent the show, man, because there was supposed to be all these different big-name wrestlers there. We can get interviews. I'm like, you can go, but I'm not going because of this. And I rubbed my hand a little bit and showed him. I'm like, come on, man. Right. It's not like that. Like,
Hold on. I didn't say it wasn't like that. I said it just took me a minute, and I was like, oh, shit, never mind.
Like, hey,
I retract my previous statement, especially. Yeah.
let's just say that some people that really like blankets happen to frequent that area.
Yeah, especially with the cities we were talking about. Once I took a second to think about it, I was like, I can't even blame you.
So, yeah, trust me, I understand, man.
So you were talking about, you know, how you've got so many of your friends that are over in other companies and all that stuff. You know, with it going into WrestleMania weekend, is there anything, obviously, Ring of Honor, you're excited to see what happens with that. Is there anything else, whether it be any of the other indie shows, whether it be Josh Barnett's Bloodsport or any of Joey Janela's stuff or anything WWE-wise, like what else are you looking forward to just from a fan standpoint as far as WrestleMania weekend?
I mean, hell, when you look at all those things, all those events are must-see. Like, they tend to be amazing every single year. I haven't gotten a chance to go to any of them, obviously, but just hearing the reviews about him and seeing the fan interaction and how positive people are when leaving them, you know, it sounds awesome, you know? So I'm looking forward to seeing them do what they do again, you know, year after year. And I hope it continues for many, many more. And seeing what my friends do this, you know, that weekend, try to catch up with them and see what's going on. I hope they put on performances of a lifetime, because that's what I expect of them. That's what they expect of me. And, I mean, man, it's WrestleMania weekend. You know what I mean? It's WrestleMania week. Like, it's just, there's no hype like that.
Man, so I'm definitely looking forward to Mania weekend. I know Kyle is. He's going to be there. Hopefully you guys can get to together, have a beer or something. Mm-hmm. But we're going to ask one last question, and then we'll go from there. Kyle, you got a last one?
Other than, I mean, we've already talked about, you know, what your plans are next for Ring of Honor and all those kind of things. Mainly and simply, what can the fans expect from you in the rest of 2019? I know we all think that it's going to be a big
TV championship.
Exactly. You beat me to it. We think it's going to be a big year for you. But for those of our listeners that are listening that maybe might not be as familiar with you yet, you know, let them know what they can expect from the Notorious One.
You are going to see, without a doubt, the most hard-hitting matches that you've ever seen in the history of your professional or of your pro wrestling fandom. When you watch me, it is a different energy. It is a different atmosphere when I step into the ring, and I like that about my matches. You know, everything else can be pretty. Everything else can be, you know, this artsy show of athleticism and technical prowess. When you see me, it's going to be a fight. The fun and games are over. The technical portion of the evening is done. When you see me, you are going to see people get punched in the mouth. You're going to see people get thrown around. You're going to see people get beat up. To me, that's what this sport is, and that's what I'm going to bring to Ring of Honor. And if I have to knock out some champions along the way, so be it.
Man. And he'll throw a Cleveland Destroyer in there too, man. That was.
Hey, you never know, man. You never know when it might come out. That's a little, you know, weapon that I got in my bag that people are like, oh, well, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, you're not doing moonsaults. I don't have to. You know what I mean? Like, you're not doing toe bit. I don't have to. I punch you in the face. You know what I mean? Like it's so funny to me when you listen to fans like critique certain people,
right?
And it's like, how are you critiquing something that you can't do? You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like who would I be to critique Tom Brady at how to break down an NFL game? That would be nonsense, right? I was like, well, I mean, you missed that throw. It's an easy throw to the back shoulder of the pylon, but the touchdown, I don't see why you wouldn't do it. And he's like, well, then go show me. Well, like, yeah.
I mean, at that point, you got to do that thing they call shutting the fuck up.
You know what I mean? Like, no, like, just chill. Like, to have your opinion is great, but, like, when you start, like, really feeling like somehow you can tell people that do what they, you know, that do this, how to do their job, it's like, homie, chill.
Too. Dude, we literally just had this conversation with a bunch of people in the group that we run for the show and stuff like that. And so we talked about this. Like, in my opinion, I think the internet has totally, like, ruined anyone from, like, just being able to watch the shit as a fan because everybody thinks they know everything. It's the most – when we were at WrestleMania last year, I sat a few seats from a guy who thought – that he knew everything, and I'm just looking at this guy like, dude, can you just can you please just shut the fuck up? Like, please, like, you sound like a complete dumbass, because 90% of the time they say shit that doesn't even make sense. And, like, we talk about this too, because our show covers MMA, and we go to fights all the time, and I've fought a few times. You've got Devin, and Devin's going to ring the bell. I knew it was coming. So you'll go there, and you'll hear these people talking. It's like, oh, what the fuck? It's so boring because they're, you know, they're doing jiu-jitsu or wrestling or whatever it might be.
Right.
Dude, unless you can get in the cage or get in the ring and do whatever the fuck it is you're bitching about, shut the fuck up. Like, it's one thing to have have an opinion. We all have an opinion, but when you take it to, oh, he should have done this, well, I don't know what the objective you were trying to get out of that match was. I just know what the fuck I saw.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know.
And it's crazy because it's like, all right, like, and there's people that have never wrestled. Like, I amateur rep wrestled all the way through college. And it's like, okay.
That's awesome.
There are parts to that. Like, there's going to be, you're dealing with another person trying to stop you from doing what you want to do. It's what do you think?
Say it again for them in the back. Shit.
You know what I mean?
like, it's not that easy when you're fighting somebody who knows what they're doing.
We're going to be like, it's insane to me. And it's like, I understand having a preference, right?
Right.
If you prefer more action-packed fights, I get that. That's human nature. You want to see car crashes. That's why people watch NASCAR. Like, you want you want to see those things. I get it. But when you're on the fighter side, like, it's a much different thought process. Like, that's why I can't stand people that say, you know, Floyd Mayweather fights are boring. I'm like,
thank you.
You don't know boxing.
Thank you.
You're a fighting fan. You might be a fighting fan, but you're not a boxing fan,
right?
Because any boxing fan
and knows that he's great.
Floyd Mayweather fights. Like, so, you can have a preference on your style of fighter, you know what I mean? But when you talk about technical precision and defensive prowess and setting up counters and things of that sort, to be where he's at and to shut down some of the most prominent offensive fighters in our in the generations that I've seen, to be able to shut down a Manny Pacquiao to the point where people thought, you know, that
it was rigged.
People were mad. You know what I mean? He led them to believe for a decade plus that this dude had what it took to beat him, and he shut him down.
Right.
And he did the same thing to Canelo, the same thing to Mosley. Mosley landed one punch in the fight.
I can't even argue it at all, dude. Like,
wait, did you two just become best friends?
Dude, like, I'm not. I was just about to say, before Devin asked his last question, I have to just say, I was already a fan before, but you and I are on the same page with that shit, because if I had a dollar for every time I fucking got angry about that when it comes to Floyd or GSP or anyone that fights that way, it just fucking drives me insane.
It sounds like you guys need to go have a beer WrestleMania weekend, man.
I'm just with it.
Because... And this is my question to them after, like, and this is like, as much as I love the Gotti Ward trilogies and things like that, I hate them at the same time because I know they are killing themselves and shortening their careers. Because they go, oh, well, he's blood and guts and I respect that. And then I go, yeah, does your respect pay his medical bills?
Exactly.
No. Does your respect put food on his table? Does it put a roof over his kid's head? Does it send them to school? Any of that? Does your respect keep the lights on? No? Well, then I think I'll just keep fighting the way that I fight and make the money that I make.
Case in point, man. Talking about Detroit, man, we see Tommy Hearns around all the time. Tommy Hearns is a freaking legend. I have nothing ill will to say to him.
Right.
But, I mean, you see him and you can just see –
yeah, it's
the effect that
it,
yeah, mm-hmm. dude, and it's like that doesn't make him any less of a fighter. But I mean, if that's not proof positive as to why there's a reason to fight smart, I mean, it's always the ones that are saying don't fight smart are always the ones that have never been punched in the mouth.
Wait, exactly, and none of those people that are like, man, Tommy, you were great back then. I love you. Just took it to him, and you weren't afraid to stand there and go toe to toe. Are you buying Tommy dinner that night?
Fuck no. They're just getting a pitch, trying to get a pitcher.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Exactly. Exactly. Like, come on, man.
All right. This is my last question, and then we'll get you out of here. But so, how does it feel to be a Cleveland Browns fan right now, man?
Oh, shit. I knew it. I was coming.
Dude. Listen, man.
Hey.
Listen. All right. If you know the history of being a Browns fan, this is what they do every year. They get you just excited enough to bite again. You know what I mean? And then they
kinda like the Lions
do what they do here and there. But last year was, you know, a very good year. Even though we had a losing record, there was a lot of games that we were in. And essentially, things fall a different way. We could have had a 10-win, 11-win team last year.
Right.
You know what I mean? So going into this year, you know, you add OBJ.
Kareem Hunt.
Which you had Kareem Hunt. I'm still in the air about the OBJ trade, though, because I feel like Jabril Peppers is going to be an all-star.
Yes.
Like
Michigan guy.
Like, not anymore.
For years. He has that
he'll always be a Michigan guy, asshole.
Like playmaking. You know what I mean? Like
right,
he's not
right.
a hitter, but like he just instinctively knows where to be in a football game. You know what I mean?
Right.
So giving up a young talent like that, a first round pick, and I think a third or a fifth or whatever it was.
Yeah, it's first third and Jabril Peppers
contract for a guy that can be shut down. I'm like, ugh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but then you got Jarvis Landry on the other side. You got David Njoku,
yeah.
man.
We got a lot of weapons. I want them to bolster the O line some more. Get a couple more DBs to help Gilbert and things like that.
They got Olivier Vernier on the defensive end, man.
Right.
I think Devin just became a Browns fan.
From the Giants, too. Yeah.
See, well, no, I forgot.
I thought we got Earl Thomas. I thought we got Earl Thomas, but I guess he signed to the Ravens. I was like, damn, we had got Earl. That
oh, it
would have
been
sick.
Over.
But
Yeah, Shane, I don't know if I think I told you this at the last show, man. Like, I kind of, like, gave up on the Lions, man, and I'm a Browns fan now. And,
oh,
and look,
Jesus.
And wait.
Listen, though. You can't tell me you gave up on your hometown team and then try to jump to my hometown team.
I know.
Wait, no, Shane. Shane.
Call him out, Shane, because I already
did. No, wait. I did this. I actually did this a long time ago. I did this before the 0-6 season. We can go back to my podcast, All State No Sizzle, and we can go through the tapes where I was saying that team is going to be great in the next 3 to 5 years. So I've been on the bandwagon for a little while. I'm just fully on now, man.
He's gonna have an OBJ jersey next week.
I'm fully committed.
But listen, you know what I am tired of already though? What? I am tired of people saying I woke up feeling dangerous, like copying the Baker shit. Like enough. Like, okay, you didn't wake up feeling dangerous. You woke up sleepy as fuck, probably. Like, you know what I mean? Like, stop!
Stop not, trying to steal the man's
like
shit.
Stop it!
No, this. Well, I'm telling you, this isn't just some me jumping on. I've been following this team for the last couple of years. I love the trades they've been making, getting draft picks and taking on bad contracts mm-hmm. just to get higher draft picks, like that Brock Osweiler move. I've been following this team for a while, and mm-hmm. it's great to see. It's great to see a team that's been in the bottom of the basement where the Detroit Lions are actually come up out of that basement and say, "Hey, You can build a good team. You can actually have some excitement for your team." And I'm glad I jumped off that damn mm-hmm. Matt Stafford bandwagon a long time ago. So, all right, that's enough.
That's the $100 million kid. What you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, well,
don't even get me started.
While Baker Mayfield's going to be making, what, $3 million and probably winning a playoff game at some point in the next 5 years, while Matt Stafford's been there for 10 years and ain't won shit. Okay, all right, I'm done. But
you know what hurts y'all, though? Like,
what's
you,
that?
You never really built your defense, right?
Preach.
And then when Megatron left, when he retired, there was like, all right, he can't be – like. It seems like once you guys get a star, like you don't build
they run them into
star,
the ground.
You just hope that the star carries you to where you need to be. Like they did the same thing with Barry. Like Barry would have had an O line. Barry would have had 50,000 yards rushing. Like,
thank you for at least admitting that, because these are things that us in Detroit have been saying forever.
Within 2 seconds of getting the ball, you know what I mean? To
Shay, 34 years of this, man. I'm done. 34 years of this, man. I'm done.
I feel you, bro.
I'm a Browns fan now.
You're echoing the sentiments of everybody in Detroit, bro.
Like, I don't know anything else than being a Browns fan. Like, I couldn't even think about, like, even living down here in Houston. Like, well, aren't you a Texas fan now? Fuck no. Like, no. Like, cool. If they win, cool. If not, I don't care. More than likely, I want to see them lose just because I have buddies down here that I can talk trash to them. That's You know, it is what it is.
That's what's up. So, Shane, why don't you go ahead and throw your social media out there for the people, man. Let them know where they can follow you. And, oh, real quick, people, if you want to see Shane Taylor live here in the Michigan area, he's going to be in Grand Rapids with Ring Honor May 11th. Make sure you come. Get your tickets. Go over to Grand Rapids.
Get tickets now, baby.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But, yeah, why don't you tell the people where they can follow you on social media.
Fantastic. At Shane216 Taylor, Twitter and Instagram. If you are in the merch buying mood as well, please, ProWrestlingTees.com/Shane Taylor, all lowercase. Or you can go to ROHWrestling.com, head over to our merch shop there, pick up your Knockouts for Everybody t-shirt. However you choose to support me, I want to say thank you. I appreciate you. We'll see you in Baltimore soon. We'll see you in Detroit soon. And the next stop after that, Madison Square Garden, Mania weekend. It's going to be great.
It's funny you bring up the merch and stuff, because if I end up linking up with you in New York, yeah, I might have just got one of them shirts for the Ring of Honor show.
There you go.
Definitely.
Hey, there you go.
Hey, Shay, you mind hanging on after we do our outro? Just for a second?
Yeah, it's all good.
All right, appreciate it. So let's go ahead and get up out of here, man. Real quick, Kyle, any last words?
Not much, man. Just another great interview, man. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit Knockout. Make sure you're checking us out the next 2 weeks. We've got our WrestleMania preview and our review the week after. And if you're going to be here in Michigan, you can't make it to WrestleMania, make sure you come downtown Detroit. We're doing the party at Buffalo Wild Wings with our boys from Breaking Down the Ring.
Yes, sir.
So make sure you're there. We've given away title belts. We've given away signed stuff. We've given away tickets to shows. You never know what the hell you're going to get, so show up.
Great prizes to be won, so make sure you come on out. You can find.
We gave away NXT tickets at the last one.
Man, we might have to give away some Ring of Honor tickets or something, man.
Bingo.
We'll talk. Yeah, Shane will hook us up. We'll talk about that out there. But make sure you come out to the WrestleMania party at Buffalo Wild Wings on WrestleMania Sunday. So also follow my social media. You can find me on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can find me on Instagram at All Steak No Sizzle. Make sure you join the Reality Era News page on Facebook where we talk wrestling. And I think that's it. Make sure you listen next week to the WrestleMania preview show. And we'll get up out of here. So until next time,
fuck your couch.
Peace.